James chapter 5 tonight for the preaching of the word of God. Fifth chapter in the book of James. If we work our way through this book, verse by verse, getting towards the end, we get to chapter 5, verse number 20, and we'll be through this exposition of the book of James. And my, how God is growing us up. Amen. And we certainly thank the Lord for it. All started at the cross. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Let the church say amen. Our Father, we pray that you add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to preach what thus saith the Lord, and hide me behind the cross of Christ. We love you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We're dealing with prosperity and riches here in James chapter number 5 in the context of spiritual maturity. This entire book written by James, the brother of the Lord, is dealing with the issue of spiritual maturity. And each one of the problems that James addresses in this book is the result of spiritual immaturity. And how many of you know that immaturity will have you do some regretful things? And here in the book of James, from chapter number 1 all the way to chapter number 5, the wrong reaction when it came to trials, the wrong attitude to the Bible, the wrong response when it came to producing works from our faith, an inability to bridle our tongue, a bad attitude, a defiant will, a hold up from drawing nigh to the Lord, wrong planning about our future without getting God at the helm of our decisions, and here the issue of riches. Each mishandling of these life issues that all of us encounter is a result of spiritual maturity. Now listen, you can spend your entire Christian life immature and still go to heaven. But you will not spend your Christian life immature and live victoriously. And you certainly won't arrive at the throne of God receiving crowns that you can cast back at his feet. There's too much at stake, too many difficulties, there are too many temptations, too many trials, there's too much we face. By the way, young people all the way to adults, in order to not just survive, and I think many Christians kind of ride in the back of the plane, maybe in the lavatory, glad they made it on and glad they land in heaven. Listen to me, if we're all going to heaven, since we got saved by the grace of God, I recommend we fly first class. And it's going to take maturity. Now, God is the one that's going to grow us. But the issue with spiritual growth is never God's inability to grow us. It's the lack of our own willingness to cooperate with his ability. Now, it is God which worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And we understand growth is always the will of God for every believer. When you get saved, you couldn't do anything to get saved. You're saved by the grace of God. Come on, say amen. You could not save yourself. You were dead in trespasses and sin. There was nothing that your dead spirit could do to quicken itself. But when you placed your faith and trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, you know what that blood is? That blood we just heard the choir sing about, all the blood of Jesus. Yet even then in my sin, amen, his blood washed away my sin. That's the blood of Jesus. When you got saved, saved. You got born again, not a corruptible seed, but by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. We've not been redeemed with corruptible seed as silver and gold received by the vain tradition of our fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Nobody gets born into God's family without the blood. But once you're saved, you're going to have to ask yourself, am I satisfied with just being saved, or do I want to grow? And one of the aspects of spiritual growth here in James chapter 5 deals with this warning to the rich. Last week we captioned or titled this section, "You Ain't All That." And it reminded us that all of us really that live in the United States of America, we're all rich. We have a whole lot more than other people do. So we've all been blessed, but we never want what God has given us to determine who we think we are. Amen. My greatest blessings from God are not material, although I do thank God for material blessings. How many of you say, I do thank God for material blessings? Amen. There's nothing wrong with enjoying material blessings. By the way, there's nothing wrong with having things. How many agree with that? The problem in the Christian life is not having things. The problem is when things have us. So he deals with this issue of riches. Last week we dealt first of all with riches woes. What are the woes of riches? He had an important summons. Go to now. Listen up. All of you that are chasing things and proud of the things you have and doing anything to get them, listen up. I'm going to instruct you to be sorrowful about those riches and warn you that the inevitable suffering of those riches is coming down the line. That which you had to have will end up wrecking your life. And so he warns them. I mean, he tells them to howl. He tells them to weep. He tells them to sorrow. Now I want you to think about the irony. That's why Christianity is a God thing. And when I say it's a God thing, it's because you can go to the finest schools in America and you can learn all the ideology that the intellectuals will tell you you must have to be successful. But if you're really going to be successful in life, there are some things you can only learn from Almighty God. Now the world tells you the more you get, the more power you have. God tells you the more you get and when what you get gets you, you can expect not power, but sorrow. Howl, he says. You get all that money, all that fame, all that fortune. He said, weep over it. Cry over it. Mourn over it. Make a sound that's so guttural that everybody listening to you says, that's a dismal, depressed individual. And most of us would think that howling ought to come from the broke folk. No. James says, need come from the rich folk. Because they've piled up all that stuff. And it only brings sorrow. So riches, they have a woe with them. We also saw last week ruined wealth. In other words, we get it. But getting it and keeping it is altogether different. Ruined wealth. Notice if you would, in verse number 2, he said they're corrupted. They're moth-eaten. The horrible corruption of wealth. Listen to me. He says, you got so many clothes, but the moths have eaten them up. You got so much gold, but it's become tarnished. He's saying just because you have it doesn't mean it's always going to be in good shape. And I've known people that were so happy about stuff only to find out that stuff got corrupted. The horrible corruption, the heralded condemnation. He says, you've heaped treasure for the last days. But he says your gold and silver is cankered and the rust of them shall be a witness against you. I've watched oftentimes, and you and I have alike, people that had so many things. And sometimes it was the very things that they had that came back to condemn them. All of their money, all of their fame. And by the way, the more stuff we have, oftentimes, the less trust we have in God. And that's what happened with a lot of people that get a lot of stuff. You know what they think? I don't need God. I'll just buy my way out of it. I'll just bribe my way out of it. I'll just spend my way out of it. But by the way, let me tell you something. When a rich man gets a sentence that he's going to die of cancer, and a poor man gets a sentence he's going to die of cancer, the rich man's money and the poor man's lack of money doesn't change the fact they're in the same place. And when you're laying on a bed, going through trials, your money can't give you peace. Your money can't give you joy. Your money can't give you contentment. When you got your head on a pillow, you don't need to know what's in your bank account. You need to know that there's a God in heaven who sits high and looks low. Riches can never do that. And of course, the hoarded consumption of those. He said, you've heaped treasure for the last days. Here was the problem. They got moth-eaten because they had so many. They got tarnished because they buried them under the ground. In other words, they were saving up for the last days, and while saving it for themselves in a selfish manner, that's how it got destroyed. Listen to me now. Even if you're on the receiving end of a blessing from God, it was never intended to be just for you. Give and it shall be given unto you. God said to Abraham, way back in the Ur of the Chaldees, I'm calling you out of there and I will bless you. But he didn't stop there. He said, I will bless you and thou shalt be a blessing. Where are the Christian people today that the moment they receive a blessing, they're trying to be a blessing? And we see oftentimes in scripture, people are keeping it for themselves. Notice thirdly, beyond the riches woes and the ruined wealth, God said there are some reckoned works. Look at verse number 4, if you would. He says, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. Now, he calls out, if you would, disdaining fraud. In other words, you cheating people. This is what he says. And he says, your laborers that you've cheated are crying out. Now, I want you to picture what was happening. There were rich folk who owned vineyards or lots, and they sent laborers out into those fields to work. But when it came time to pay them, they didn't pay them. They cheated them. They took advantage of them. They looked down upon the poor because they had less. They thought more of themselves because they had more. And James says, that's fraud. Now, maybe you're in here today and say, well, Pastor, I don't fraud people and I don't cheat people and I don't do people wrong. But let me tell you something. You don't have to be rich to do people wrong. I say you don't have to be rich to do people wrong. The teaching here is not just for wealthy people, but here's what he's saying. Don't ever use your power to mistreat someone that's weaker than you are. And don't ever give someone the impression that you're going to do something for them if they do something for you, and then after they do it, you don't hold up your end of the bargain. And it's sad to say that sometimes the higher up people climb, the harder it is to look down low. And if there's anything I can't stand, is it's a person who by the grace of God, amen. Psalm 75 is very clear. Promotion comes not for the east or the west or the south. God is a judge. He set it up one and take it down another. By the way, if you've experienced any promotion, if you've experienced any prosperity, if you can tell everybody, well, I worked to get this. Well, the Bible tells us very clear, it's God that gives you the power to get wealth. Amen. So even if you worked your way up, somebody woke you up so you could work and gave you the talents that you worked with and the mind you could deposit information into. Amen. and you've been on the receiving end of the grace and the mercy of God, don't ever get so big and so mighty that you take advantage of people. And certainly, don't let what you have make you think you're better than somebody. Now, listen, it happens in the world, but it happens in the church too. Amen. Amen. See, you're not more important to the church just because you sing solos or you have a position. Amen. Or you've been saved a long time or you've led a lot of people to the Lord. Could I tell you, it took the same grace to save you that it did the drunk man? It took the same grace and mercy to save you that it did the drug addict. It took the same grace and mercy to save you that it did the murderer and the rapist. Amen. It took the same grace to save you that it did anybody that's been in any vile sin that you would never commit. And by the way, your religious soul would have gone to the same hell he would have gone to were it not for the grace of God. And yet he said, you quick to have people do stuff for you, but very slow to compensate them for it. Don't be known as a Christian who asks a lot of people but doesn't do much for people. Somebody say amen. Sometimes Christian people are the hardest people to get to pay you. It should not be. They ought to be the quickest people. Amen. Because not only do they have a God who takes care of them, but they ought to have principles that they live by. Amen. And you're going to find out a lot about people's character when it comes to how they handle their money. Don't get quiet. I can't stand to see people work people like slaves and don't want to do nothing for them. By the way, while I'm thinking about it, since some of you feel like this message would be not applicable to you, so you can just take the night off, don't work a waitress to death and tip cheap.
Come on.
Let me get down where I can get it applied to you.
Come on.
Amen.
Yes.
I mean, my the food wasn't hot. Well, you should have thought about that before you ate half of it. And I've seen people do it. Bring me hot water for my silverware so I can sterilize it and warm up my French fries. And I had a piece of hair on my sandwich that I didn't identify until I had one bite left. I need a whole new sandwich.
Come on now.
And your kids have mixed the honey mustard and the salt and the pepper and the juice all together. And the ranch dressing is mixed with the A1 sauce. And the steak is on the chicken plate. And the shrimp is on the fish plate. And the salad is in the glass with ice. And the crayons are all over the place. And the crackers all over the floor. And everything's all over the place. And then you got the nerve to leave a pamphlet with my picture on it and no tip. And no tip. That's defrauding somebody. Well, Pastor, I didn't want you to preach on this. We got to get the Bible where you can handle it. And don't hire somebody with a Cadillac taste if you got the Volkswagen budget. Amen. Don't say I want 18 things done and then I just want to pay for 3. Amen. You might have to look up a YouTube and do it yourself. Don't do people wrong. Don't do people wrong. And by the way, it wouldn't hurt you every once in a while when people say, that's okay, you don't have to pay me, to pay them anyway. Every once in a while I get wind of people in the church who go out of their way to do stuff for people and other people in the church who act like they owe them. Nobody owes you anything. Shame on you if you run down the street and pay a heathen money and defraud a child of God. Amen. As we therefore have opportunity, we ought to do good to those, especially those of the household of faith. Amen. I like putting my money into somebody's hands. I know going to use it for God's glory. Don't defraud people. See, disdaining fraud was going on, but James says, I don't just want to point out disdaining fraud, but let me also point out a discerning father. See, because in the social ladder, of economics, those laborers were so far down the totem pole that their cry didn't register. In other words, they were mistreated by the wealthy, but there was nothing they could do about it because they were too poor to have a voice. But James says their voice may not level in the magistrate's office, but it travels to heaven. There's a God in heaven who hears their cry. Look at what James says. Their cry has reaped and entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Listen to me. Some of you are going to go to work tomorrow for somebody that treats you like trash and doesn't care that you're hurt about it. Don't you quit. Don't get bitter. And don't say nobody cares. Don't worry about what HR says. Amen. Sometimes HR doesn't look out for you. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about human resources. How many of you been to HR and didn't get the answer you were looking for? Well, guess what? Take solace in the fact that when you can't get help from human resources, you can get help from another HR. That's heavenly resources. And James says, listen, you do people wrong and get away with it because they're too weak to stop you. God hears their cry. God hears their cry. That's why David could say the righteous have never been forsaken nor seed begging bread. Not because they were always treated right, but because God made up for their mistreatment. Let me close this section. Riches, woes, ruined wealth, reckoned ways, and then on somewhat of a negative tone, revealed wickedness. James says, let me tell you how bad it got. You lived in pleasure on the earth. He said, you got lavish pleasure. You just walk around happy that you're somebody. He said, and your lavish pleasure leads you to a lifestyle perversion. The more stuff you got, the more sinful you become. You lived in pleasure on earth and been wanton. Wanton was a reckless lifestyle of indecency. You ever notice how it seems like some people who have morals and decency, sometimes the more they get, the less moral they are? Do you ever look at some of this stuff that's highlighted amongst the rich and the famous? Some of these lifestyles, some of these parties, some of this fame and fortune. I'm talking about some of these folks had their start in the church. And when they didn't have two nickels to rub together, they knew how to praise the Lord. Amen. Now they got more money that it ain't even funny. Their dress has changed. Amen. Their morals have changed. Their attitude has changed. Stuff they would have never done 20 years ago when they sang for the church choir for free. Now they do all the time when they sing for everybody else for a fee. He said, you live in pleasure. You have lavish pleasure. You have a lifestyle perversion. And then he says, you have levied power. You've condemned and killed the just. Whew. Pastor, how do I know when things are to get me? Because you said it's not wrong having things. How do I know when those things have me? Here's when it happens. When you just willfully and casually hurt people. He says, you've condemned and killed the just. You don't have a problem killing people, he said. Now, it didn't necessarily just mean that they murdered them physically. It just meant they ran through them viciously with an attitude and had no conscience. Our theme is just have compassion making a difference. I mean, don't ever let your attitude get so prideful and conceited that hurting people doesn't hurt you. There's a heinous violence about him. And what makes it sad is they levy this heinous violence on helpless victims. He doth not resist you. You get a kick out of hurting people who can't fight back. By the way, I didn't intend to say this, but this is why you can't get much lower on the scale of indecency to be somebody that abuses and mistreats children. I mean, you just got to be sorrier than sorry to pick on someone who can't fight back, who can't talk, who can't express it. Please don't think I'm getting social and political. I'm still preaching the Bible.
Amen.
I'm still preaching the Bible. And I hope. By the way, I'm not just talking about pedophiles and abusers. We sure got enough of those. I say we got enough of those.
That's right.
That's why we run background for children workers.
Amen.
And don't apologize for it. Because we don't want to place helpless children in the care of someone who's heinous.
That's right.
But I'll say this. You may not be a pedophile or an abuser or someone, I'm talking about someone who immorally or sexually does something to a child that's not right. But if you're a parent who beats on your children in an inappropriate way or handles them unkindly, or a teacher, or an adult who gets a kick out of doing something to someone who can't fight back, you ought to be shaming yourself. And this wasn't in my notes, but I feel like the Holy Spirit's led me say it. Because sometimes these helpless victims that are children are either too scared or too naive to know what to do. And because your dad and your mom and your boss, they can't say anything. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a God who hears their cry. There's a God who hears their cry. And I'm going to tell you, you can get away with it and keep getting away with it and keep getting away with it and keep getting away with it. But I'm telling you, you can hide in the deepest, darkest tree in the middle of the forest where you think nobody will find you. But I promise you, as sure as I am black and breathing, saved and sanctified, and on my way to heaven, the hound dogs of heaven will hunt you down.
Right. Come on.
You will not keep hurting people that are helpless and get away with it. And please, church, if we're not at the height of any of these sins, and if we're not gross committers of any of these, let these verses be so convicting that they not only make us feel proud that we're not that bad, but may they help us feel sensitive that we don't embrace any aspect of it at all. Say, guard me, God. Guard me. By the way, the best way to never take advantage of someone with fraud and finances is to err on the extreme. Be generous. Now, I know that that's just absolutely against some people's nature. But it wouldn't hurt you to give somebody something extra because you want to be a blessing. Because I don't want to ever give the impression that I'm taking advantage of you. I mean, the best way to not feel entitled is to be thankful. Amen. And where in the world have we gotten in a society where it's too difficult for people just to say thank you? I mean, you hold the door, they look at you like, yeah, you better. You let them cross the road, they look at you like, that's what I thought. You let them in the lane and they look at you like, yeah, I was going anyway. Come on.
Amen.
She sets dinner on the table and you look like that's what I married you to do. Be careful. It wouldn't hurt you to say thank you. She didn't owe you that. God just blessed you to give you somebody. Give me somebody that loves me in spite of me. loves you in spite of you.
You're right.
Amen. And we may be the parents, but it wouldn't kill us to tell our children, thank you.
That's right.
Wow, how blessed we are. James says, you're saved. You've been given the grace of God. God has blessed you. But now you've gotten some stuff. And you think that you're something. You're all that and a bag of chips. James says, you do anything to have it, and before long, it'll have you. You'll go to that closet to look at that most expensive piece of garment that you paid all that money for, and it'll have a bunch of holes in it. Because while you hoarded it in the back, unused, the moths were eating it up. And you keep doing people wrong and acting like you can get away with it because they can't stop you. And you keep hurting helpless people. God says, I see it. I'm calling you out on it. And I want to remind you, unbeknownst to you, you ain't all that. Our Father, may we all be reminded. All be reminded to love on people, not to be hurtful, cheap, taking advantage of, heinous, entitled. Help us, Lord. To be generous, loving, kind. In Jesus' name, amen.